final hour of the show, now officially underway. Buckle up. Hopefully, it'll be a bumpy ride. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Yes. All right, so let's hop to it, shall we? As you know, as you get out of work and you get in your car and you're on your way home and you listen to the show, we usually have some pretty big folks dropping by here for a little chatty view. Yesterday, Judge Andrew Napolitano had a great chat with the judge. He'll be back on a regular basis. And we get, Tom Woods the other day. And so on. Today's no different. I read this story about drones, just mentioning that to Emily in that last half hour. And anytime I read about government, specifically government coming in and taking a big old bite out of the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or something like that, and chomping up another chunk of your liberty, I think of Jim Bovard. Jim Bovard has a veritable library of work out there that should be in your library. Freedom in Chains, Lost Rights, Attention Deficit Democracy, all the rest of that. And Jim's visited with us a bunch of times, and it's always great to have him on. Today is no different. We're going to talk about this and a few other exciting things coming from an unlisted address just outside of the logic-free zone. Ladies and gentlemen, James Bovard. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I've got to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I was glancing online, and I was seeing some back and forth about a recent change you made in the late evening schedule there at there at the radio station. There was some bitter critic of yours who said that you were always using big words that you learned from Verbal Advantage. Is that true?
I don't know what Verbal Advantage is. What is that?
I think it's a software. It's a software program which supposedly boosts your vocabulary. It was something which was heavily advertised, I think, by some large talk shows like Limbaugh, but maybe back in the 1990s. It's not something which I ever tried. I was raised in the mountains, so it probably wouldn't work on me.
Yeah, probably.
It was just a hoot to hear your critics saying, "Yes, those big words for Verbal Advantage."
It's kind of depressing that someone who would write that is obviously at such a verbal disadvantage. But we troll for the intellectually adroit here, and sometimes, like fishing, we get them and sometimes we don't. But nevertheless,
I hope you've got some deep nets.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, when the only thing your critics can do is to lob ad hominems at you, that just merely means that they've run out of intellectual ammunition and their brain went click.
It's just too bad that more of your critics didn't buy that Verbal Advantage software.
Maybe one of our sales weasels is listening, and they'll go out there and hustle up that account. You never can tell. There must be some old 5-inch discs out there somewhere that somebody could use. But, that's a fun time, especially the way facts get. I wonder if they could have Factual Advantage. I wonder if they could put out something like that that might help people get the straight skinny on some things. That's probably a conversation we'll have another time. Listen, I wanted to ask you about this story I saw. I mean, it's one of many. You know, we've talked often about the Patriot Act and all the fun things that the feds can do under that. Of course, if you have nothing to hide, then that's not a problem. The National Defense Authorization Act, where they can scoop you up off the street and throw you God knows anywhere forever and ever, amen, and get rid of habeas corpus. I think we discussed that the last time you were on. And of course, you have nothing to hide. There's nothing to worry about that. And now the FAA, Transportation Modernization and Safety Improvement Act of 2012 that the president signed recently, that now has is going to launch a fleet of drones, unmanned surveillance drones, to watch over us. And of course, this is in the fight against terrorism. I know you know that. So since you've got nothing to hide, we have nothing to fear on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising to me. I mean, there are some intelligent human beings in Congress, but it's surprising that law after law like this and similar laws gets passed with almost no attention, no controversy. And next thing you know, we glance overhead and, there's a whole new set of Stukas flying over us. And it's kind of like, it's amazing that there's not more pushback at the time before this stuff becomes law, because it seems to be practically impossible to roll back these type of power grabs.
Well, there is that, and Judge Napolitano was on yesterday, and I'm trying to call up as usual. I don't know. There's something about 5 o'clock. I always manage to inherit various computer problems at that point. But there was a bill passed in the House. It was passed. Only three people voted against it. I'm assuming you heard about it. This legislation, if it actually becomes law, will outlaw assembling to demonstrate against whatever, if there are any Secret Service people around, meaning the Secret Service people would be around the president, the vice president, cabinet members, even people running for office. And if you don't like them, if you want to get a message out, if you want to demonstrate, you can't do it according to this legislation. So I guess the First Amendment is just about all the way through the shredder.
Well, it's interesting. Going back way the hell back in late 2003, I wrote a piece for American Conservative on how the Bush administration was invoking free speech zones to prohibit protests practically anywhere within a half mile of where the president was traveling. And this was something that Clinton had done a little bit of. George W. did a whole lot more of it. And there were a lot of people that were outraged by that practice, and there was some pushback temporarily. There was a little bit of hell-raising temporarily. But now it seems as if Congress is set to canonize a much more expansive and more prohibitive policy. And why in Hades they would make it a federal crime to be to criticize the federal government, well, it seems almost un-American.
Well, you're downright un-American. To the point of you're one. I mean, I'm just wondering. Of course, they used to say that the Senate was where a good legislation went to die. So I can only assume that bad legislation coming out of the House, like this one, is going to probably receive a standing ovation.
Well, yeah, it's hard to know. It's a lot easier for an individual senator to block a law, and it might be that Rand Paul or Ron Wyden or somebody else would put a hold on this bill. So it's appalling that you'd have so many people in the House voting for it, but I would think that it'd be easy to, if someone wrote the bill right, that you'd be able to get 400 votes to overturn almost every provision in the Bill of Rights in the House of Representatives at this point.
Well, indeed. As a matter of fact, I think Walter Williams said that if the founding dads came back and tried to pass all this stuff again, you know, they'd get ridden out of town on a rail. But the what's of greater concern, I would think, to everyone, or should be of greater concern to everyone, is the fact that this just keeps happening and happening and happening and happening and happening. And it's like being on an assembly line of bad legislation or bad mandates or bad edicts or bad regulations. And it seems to be never ending. And along with the fact that there doesn't appear to be any will, political will, which I guess is another name for balls, backbone, spine, guts, you know, whatever, on Capitol Hill, the people themselves who would actually organize and make efforts and sign petitions, to get these things overturned, that's a water balloon and a charging rhino too.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, things are going to change once the Tea Party takes charge.
Ah, well, that's but that's just a movement. That's just a movement. They're still the Tea Party does a lot of good stuff, I think, but they seem to run out of gas right about the point where constitutional issues become the most important, and maybe bombing people is a greater. I don't know. There's always a bit of a sticky wicket.
Yeah, it's a paradox. I think the Tea Party folks tend to be very good on the Second Amendment. I think that they'd probably be pretty good on property rights as far as they perceive some of those issues. First Amendment, I would hope that they'd be gung-ho on that. I mean, it's hard to speak of a single Tea Party. And there are provisions in there that have factually have been very good, but thus far they really haven't seemed to be hot to pull in the leash on the Leviathan across the board.
No, but the now the Tea Party, I think, would tell you that that's not their job. I mean, they are a movement, that they are trying to encourage people to run for office that they can back, who are going to be constitutionalists, strict constitutionalists, and so on.
Massachusetts. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, right. Like the guy out of Massachusetts. I mean, but that seems to be, as I understand it, that's almost endemic in that whole Tea Party class that, you know, that everyone celebrated with the midterms last year. These guys get into Washington, and all of a sudden, all those fine ideals that they stood for, and constitutional principles, and by God, as they pounded on the podium back home by looking for votes, just kind of fade off into Never Never Land once they get inside the logic-free zone.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the Tea Party activists have not found a way to keep the keep a flame close to the backside of the people who they championed. Or it might be that some of the Tea Party activists were not really that concerned about government power. I don't know. It's hard to make sense, but they certainly haven't had the batting average that you might have expected given their early fervor.
Well, that's true. And, of course, the Tea Party doesn't have anything to do with the local congresswoman out here, Marcy Kaptur, who's been in office since, I believe, it was the Jefferson administration. She's up. She's running against Dennis Kucinich in the newly redistricted congressional district. So
that's a hoot.
But she just got the endorsement of Tom Hanks and Bob Dole because she worked so hard for the creation of the D-Day Memorial.
Oh, good old Bob Dole. Is he still around?
Apparently isn't that marvelous that we would put somebody in Washington and encourage people to vote for her merely because she had worked hard for a no-brainer memorial? I mean, like, who would not support a D-Day memorial, the Vietnam memorial, the Korean War memorial, any of those memorials? You'd have to be stone deaf as a politician to not support that. But because she did, well, we ought to give her another X number of years. It's remarkable, especially in light of the other things that she did. So I'm not getting the sense that the people, quote unquote, really have a. I think as long as the gravy trains are going to run on time, that's the only reason to vote for somebody.
Well, I mean, part of the frustration, part of the reason that we have attention deficit democracy is because you have these, the politicians are doing so many different things, and even the worst politicians are usually doing a few things that would be somewhat popular. So it's always possible to say, well, you know, it's true, I'm a son of a gun, but I voted for this, that, and the other. Oh, okay, well, then you're not so bad. And, you know, most of the congressmen don't pay attention to most of the bills or most of what the government's doing, so... it's so easy to set up a fog bank at this point, and very few people pierce through that.
Yeah, so I guess what we do then is we send our best and brightest off to be bullet sponges across overseas in some proactive war, and the worst and dumbest we send to Washington to create the laws. Is that it?
I think some of them. I think some of the worst are also designated to be pundits.
Pundits, yeah, there we go.
Or
I'm thinking
bladder.
Maybe, 85% is about the best we can hope for on some of this.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've got the Patriot Act, we've got the National Defense Authorization Act, we've got the drones about ready to achieve liftoff, and we are now not permitted to assemble to protest any place where there is a Secret Service agent, despite the fact he carries under his jacket enough armament to take on a small African country.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't shoot that well.
Well, you don't have to with that kind of weaponry, that's for sure.
Pray and pray.
Spray and pray, indeed. Yeah, well, I guess if you can't vote and pray, then spray and pray is the next best thing. Always great to take them over the coals with you, James. I look forward to whatever it is you've got hiding out in your word processor. Look forward to our next chat.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Keep up the hell raising there, Brian.
Do the best we can, Jim. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the help. Jim Bovard, Attention Deficit Democracy, his latest. Get it, buy it, read it, memorize it, and bring a lot of Kleenex because it is a tragedy.